tuned into Revolution Rock here on CJM 99.1 FM in the Winter Detroit area. We're also syndicating across several different stations throughout Canada. Thanks to those stations and CJM, of course, for hosting our show. We came back from a set there of music, kind of a little more laid back than the first set, I think.
Yeah, very phlegmatic.
Yeah, and we heard The Clientele.
Yes, The Clientele, one of my favorite records of the year. We actually heard something from their seventh record overall. That's called I Am Not There Anymore with the track Lady Grey. And that's the first album they've done in quite some time. That's off of Merge Records. That's a band that hails from Britain. Prior to that, we heard from Mitski, which I think, without denying, is probably my favorite album of the year. This is the first album since Mitski publicly hinted that she was going to retire after her previous record, and I didn't really know if I was digging the direction her music was going in, but this album floored me. It's so intimate, so sparse, and the songwriting is so great on it. There's a lot of people I can name check or reminds me of. There's certainly elements of Leonard Cohen, Nick Drake, Joni Mitchell, just to name a few. Yes, I would put her songwriting on this record up into that echelon. From The Land is Inhospitable and So Are We. We heard the song The Frost, again by Mitski, who, for me, I will admit, made my favorite album of the year, although there were plenty of other great ones, including what we heard before that, Dave. That was from PJ Harvey.
Yeah, from PJ Harvey's newest album. It's been a while since they put out a new album. I'm not sure.
I think it was 2018 was the last one she released with her band. Yeah, this one was interesting. It's called I Inside the Old I Dying. And we heard the track Autumn Term, and this was the first one that she did on an indie label after quite some time, and it's actually her 10th record overall. And that was actually her first off of Island Records, because they had basically been her home, I think, ever since Dry, her debut record.
Yeah, and now it was, I'm not sure which label released this one, but yeah, good stuff there. Before that, we heard music from another great album from an artist known primarily as being part of La Luz and one of the main songwriters in that group, Shauna Cleveland. And she put out this really amazing album called Manzanita. And I always love the stuff that Shauna does. And her last record was great too. But there's just something else about this one. I don't know what it is. It's just, it's really amazing. And and we heard, what did we hear from this song? Bonanza Freeze?
We did. And I know it was unusual. I selected an instrumental track from this record, but I wanted to highlight something because I do agree. I think there's something special. There's different records that have different kind of stakes for me. I think there's different records that are my favorite overall, ones that are my favorite lyrically, or ones that are my favorite in production. But in terms of guitar tone, the sounds that she gets out of her guitar on this record, I don't know what they do for miking it. I don't know what she's doing for playing. To me, this is the best sounding guitar record of the year, which is kind of funny because it's more of a sparse, almost acoustic record. Yes. Compared to the more overdriven, like heavier music that we played, you know, stemming from garage and punk, but it's just such a great guitar record. It's from Hardly Art, the label, and it's Cleveland's first record after becoming a mother.
That's true. Maybe that also had something to do with a lot of the songs, but it's a great collection of songs, and I recommend it to everyone. It's quite stunning. And then before that, we had music from
Joanna Sternberg.
Yes.
That was from their second record. We heard People Are Toys to You from the album I've Got Me, a very folk-oriented record, but this one was one of the few songs on that record that had a full band backing them, and I really think that's the sound that they need to go into, because it's just such a great full sound. It throws me back to a lot of great 60s rock and roll. With that said, though, fantastic stuff, and the great music is going to continue on, because this episode, me and Dave are talking about our favorite records of 2023, and we're getting away from the more laconic, laid-back songs to some high energy in this one, starting off with one of the most high-energy releases of the year by Autogram.
Yeah, mixing elements of punk and power pop and just 80s rock. There's some synthesizers that pop up on this record. Vancouver's Autogram. This album has been doing quite well on the Earshot online charts. This is the charting system that campus and college stations in Canada use to track top charting albums. And the things that are getting played across Canada. And this one cracked the top 50 and I believe even in the top 10. And it's really cool stuff. The music is, I mean, the album is called Music That Humans Can Play. And we're going to actually start off the next set with a track called Plastic Punks here on Revolution Rock.
Mm-hmm. Remember, for the full playlist and for selections of our favorite albums of the year, that will be up soon at revrock.blogspot.com. But here we go with Autogram on CJAM 99.1 FM. listening into the future. 2024 is almost upon us, and we are celebrating the end of the year now. This is Adam with Dave, and you're listening to our year-end edition of Revolution Rock.
Yes, and before that psyche intro, we heard some somewhat psyche and synthy music from OC's latest album, Intercepted Message, which came out, I believe, in August of this year. We heard a track from this release called Blank Chems. What's really interesting about this, OC's always put out a lot of music, and to be honest, it's always great. But John Dwyer of OC's always had these two separate things. He had Damaged Bug, which was more synthy, and then he had OC's, which was a mixture of different rock sounds, psych, jazz as of late as well. It seems like it combined those two for this release.
It really does. And then there was also that record where OC's really focused on going back to hardcore punk music. And I even hear elements of that in here. It's really a great kaleidoscopic view of everything Dwyer has done up until this point. And I feel like I almost say that for every upcoming OC's record. But, you know, I just think they have that perfect marriage of all their sounds. This is a great record. I highly recommend it. I know with OCs it can feel a bit daunting because they have so much out there, but I think this is a good jumping on point if you're not really sure where to start. Great record. Same thing with what we heard before that, another great record by Mono Negatives.
Yes, from London, Ontario. They had a new release out, their follow-up from their first album, which came out, I believe, in 2020. We heard something from Crossing Visual Field called North Carolina Atomic Bomb. This was an early single released prior to the album's official release, put out through Dowd Records in the UK, and also a record based in the US/Canada. Just a really cool band from London, always doing something interesting and playing a lot. Hopefully they come through Windsor sometime soon. Yeah, we heard that track, and also we had a chance to speak with some of the members for our website at revrock.blogspot.com.
No, maybe we should mention now, in addition to the year-end show, we're going to have some other episodes coming up. I want to just, you know, segue into this briefly.
Sure.
That we are going to have a special episode coming up in January where we're highlighting the interviews that were conducted through Revolution Rock this year. So it's going to be a compilation episode featuring some songs and snippets of the interviews conducted with these artists, both the ones that were recorded and aired on the radio program and those that were text interviews that were posted to revrock.blogspot.com. So that's going to be really cool. And also, we should probably mention this. We haven't really talked about this before, but of course, the musical world was shaken the other week with the announcement of Shane McGowan's passing. Mm-hmm. And I know for listening to Revolution Rock for a few years, a lot of people are probably wondering, well, why aren't they doing anything for Shane McGowan? I thought Revolution Rock loved the music of the Pogues, and we do. In fact, next week, we're going to have a very special episode, which is a tribute to the life and music of Shane McGowan, and we're going to have a special host with us. It's going to coincide with Joe Strummer Day next weekend, and it will be a special episode of Revolution Rock, so I just wanted to put that out there for people.
Yeah, so you can tune in. We don't know when yet, but check CGM's site on the 22nd for Joe Strummer Day, which is an annual marathon we do to confront poverty in the Windsor Tray area. So we did a special for that, and then it's also going to air again next Saturday during the normal time of this program. So really cool stuff. We had our friend Kieran, who's been on this show a couple times this year, join us. And yeah, it's a good survey of some music he's done, and hopefully you'll tune into that. But right now, we're talking about what we just heard, if you're currently tuned in. Prior to Mono Negatives, we heard the band
Priors. Very good segue. I like that. We heard the title track off of Daffodil, a fantastic record. I really enjoy how Priors marry this combination of hyper-aggressive rock and, to an extent, power pop.
On this one especially, it seems like they took more time with the production, not that there was anything wrong.